This one says, my study Bible notation says that Romans 6:1 is an antinomian expression. What does that mean? Good question. Let's go to Romans 6:1. And I'm not sure what study Bible is being used. Perhaps those of you who are holding study Bibles right now can check your notes on Romans 6:1 and see if yours includes the expression or the phrase, an antinomian expression. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, I didn't bring my study Bible with me. I'm just using my non-study Bible. Does anybody see in your notes on Romans 6:1 something about an antinomian expression? Yours does? Okay, against law. You're giving me a definition of it. So, against law. Does somebody have any note, a Bible study note, study Bible note that says that? All right, well, as you just heard, the expression antinomian means against the law, against law, or it means lawless. That's a more or less direct interpretation. To be antinomian means to be without law. In other words, you do whatever you want to do as if there are no laws that would prevent you from doing whatever you want to do. And so when we read the expression, or when we read the verse, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? In other words, are we going to continue to live in sin as if there are no instructions or prohibitions against us, that we can do whatever we want to do? Are we to continue to live in that way in order that grace may abound? And it's because he's just talked about the grace of Jesus Christ repeatedly in the previous chapter about God's grace. Even the last verse says, so that, this is chapter 5, verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with his emphasis on grace and not having to live according to the law in terms of being bound to follow a set of rules in order to have a right relationship with God, his whole point in chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6 have to do with the fact that we are made right with God simply through faith, by grace through faith. We trust in God, that's our faith, and God in turn grants us righteousness, not because we have lived up to a certain standard and have now earned that righteousness, but rather because we have trusted in Christ. And so we're told, just as Abraham believed God, there's trust, there's faith, and it was counted to him as righteousness, there's grace. God gave Abraham grace, not because he had earned it, but simply because he trusted God. That's the whole point of the first part of Romans. So he gets to chapter 6, and he has this antinomian expression, this expression about living against law or without law, as if there's no restrictions. But he's posing this as if someone were asking that question. So he is posing a hypothetical question, anticipating what someone who is reading his letter might say in response. So having been through all of this, what we've read in the last several chapters of Romans, and coming to this point, he is anticipating that some objector is going to say, now wait just a minute. If what you're saying is true, and that is that I am made righteous simply because of God's grace and not because I've tried to live up to a certain standard, then what's to prevent me from just going ahead and living in sin all the time? As a matter of fact, you could even say, if whenever I sin, God's grace covers it, then if I sin more, aren't I going to get more grace? So he's anticipating that question. And he says it like this. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? And then we come to verse 2. In the ESV it says, by no means. Here I prefer the King James, probably New King James, that says, God forbid. So here's Paul's response. You ask me, shouldn't we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. Why would you even think such a wicked thought? Now, God's grace is indeed everything that we have. That's our salvation. It is not because I earned it. But if you turn around and assume that because God's grace is constantly being poured out on us every time we sin, that therefore it is acceptable to live a life of sin and to engage in even more sin so that you get more grace, there is something seriously wrong with your logic and something seriously wrong with your relationship with God. By no means, God forbid, how can we who died to sin still live in it? In other words, we have died to sin because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We're not living that way anymore. So how can we go back and live that way more? This is a passage that you often hear me read whenever we have a baptism service. So we go on, verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And here you get the whole picture of what baptism is all about. We are baptized into his death. We were buried with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Not in the old way, but in the new way, because we have been saved by grace. Verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present the members of sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members, that is your body, to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Once again, we have by no means, or God forbid. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient to the heart, from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? We rejoice in that salvation. I personally believe and will teach unapologetically the principle of eternal security. I believe it is clear in the scripture that those whom God saves, he saves by his grace, and he saves for eternity. We're quickly going to be coming to that in our study of Hebrews in chapter 6, so we'll be discussing this more as time goes on. But assuming that this is true, and I'm going to assume that we are saved for eternity once we are saved, then an objector may suggest the very thing that we find in Romans 6:1, this antinomian expression. They may suggest that if you hold to eternal security, then there is nothing to keep you from living in sin all the time. And I would respond with the very words of Paul, God forbid. Just because it is the truth that God saves for eternity all who turn to him in faith, does not give us the freedom to be able to make bad choices. We are still commanded in Scripture, not just once, not just a few times, but throughout all of Scripture, especially in the New Testament epistles, that we are to live an obedient life. But let's understand the reason why. We are not called to live an obedient life in order to obtain salvation. We have obtained salvation by the grace of God, and as believers, we are called to live an obedient life. So don't get the cart before the horse. I realize the only question here is, what does antinomian mean? But you know how I am. Another comment on this one? Praise the Lord is right. Amen. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. I think we're going to invite our worship team to come back up and lead us in another song before we dismiss. So, worship team.